There we go.
Yay, there we go. That works.
Hello.
Cool. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us on this Friday morning, a little later than normal. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's way later, and it's earlier in the day than you guys are used to.
Yeah. And you're wondering why I called this episode Wake Up, Damn It. Justin, wake up, damn it.
I'm awake. I'm just not normally talking to people this early in the morning.
Yeah, I understand. I'm just all kinds of just frazzled at this point. For those who don't know, it is the last weekend of the big warehouse sale. So, come on out and check out the warehouse. It's going to be a freaking awesome time. I was up there yesterday for the golden ticket day. That's what I was going to say. And it was good. It was a good time. I made a little video. I posted it on our company Facebook. It probably hit just now, actually. And it was a time lapse of the entire warehouse in 3 seconds. Which is hilarious because I sent it to Scott and he's like, "Holy crap, I think I just had an epileptic seizure." Was like, it is 3 seconds. It is crazy. But if you ever wanted to see what the warehouse looks like in a blink of an eye, it's pretty awesome. Definitely go up and check it out. I will not be there today, but I will be there Saturday and Sunday, from noon to six tomorrow. And then I will be there Sunday from 11 to 5, I think is the hours for that. Today, Todd will be there 12 to 6, and then Bob will be there covering tonight and tomorrow from 6 to 9 and 6 5 to 8, I think. But it's a lot of stuff. There's probably 300 or 400 new boxes to go through, so make sure you guys come up and check it out. I saw some people pulling like some $10 books out of there. It was pretty good. There's some definitely some gems hanging out in there, so make sure you check it out. Let's, I guess, get into it and start talking about comics. Because really, I don't think there's much news this week, right? I mean,
Well, nothing till probably next week, I imagine.
yeah, everybody's just in New York prep at this point.
Yeah. I saw a couple local, like a local pizza shop or something, or a local comic shop in New York was handing out free pizza because Scott Snyder was doing signings for Absolute Batman out there already. So.
Yeah, he was at Midtown. Yeah. Also, our thoughts are going out to all the guys that got hit by the hurricanes. Like, we hope everybody's safe. The couple creators I do follow that are from down there all said all checked in. They're all good. They're all safe that I know of. But if you know anybody down there, I just hope everybody's okay. And we'll say it like that.
I was gonna say on a personal level, my sister and my father are down there, so I called. They're okay. They're in the safe area in Florida, which is kind of funny to say, considering the entirety of the state got hit. So.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. So, all right, let's do some sharing is caring. Not sharing is caring. Okay, you're first.
We'll start off with the book that everybody's been talking about this week, and for good reason. This is a interesting origin of Batman that I've already compared it to similar to Sean Murphy's White Knight. and it's comparable, to say the least. We get a stranger buzzing through Gotham. It's very dialogue heavy, this book, but it's through the point of view of the stranger happens to be Alfred Pennyworth. So we're getting into where Alfred is not a butler, but he is tapping into his military experience. It looks like he is some sort of mercenary or MI6 agent, something along that line, where, that is accountability, because he is younger in this book than I think we're used to seeing him. He's not frail at all. But he's keeping an eye on what's going on in Gotham, which there is a gang called the Party Killers, and they just go around and they're just killing people randomly, torturing them. They are wearing black masks, like black skulls on their heads, so this is very a nod to the Black Mask gang, or at least Black Mask himself. But his mission is to keep an eye out by his handlers. The handler did say, by the way, there is also somebody that there's a they call a another subject to keep an eye on, and obviously you see a shadow of a bat jumping from building to building. So that's your first look of Batman. Then it is kind of fast forward, and you're in a gym as guys are doing a punching bag. There's a kid doing a punching bag, and he's sitting there doing his routine. But he gets interrupted by a very muscular, very large Bruce Wayne, who just goes ham on this bag to the point where he breaks it. Similar to the Captain America and breaking a bag is basically how this was done. And you see a tall African American gentleman carrying around a crocodile and a snake by the name of Waylon, who we know as Killer Croc in any other Batman story. But apparently him and Bruce are living together. And by the di as the story like as the story goes on from here, we find out Bruce is childhood friends with Killer Croc, the Penguin, the Riddler, and Selina Kyle. I think that's everybody. Like, it shares a whole group of them as children, and you could tell, like, just by the look of the kid too, too. It continues on. The party killers are meeting up with Maroni and Falcone, and they're doing like a mob meetup type thing. But the leader is of the party killers. I'm just gonna call him Black Mask because it's basically what he's wearing is Black Mask's mask. He basically just executes Maroni and Falcone to take over the entirety of the mob scene in Gotham, because the guy is completely wacko. And yeah, fast forward through the book, and there's James Gordon, who is not commissioner, but he is the mayor of Gotham, which is an interesting little twist there. And his daughter is also a street level policeman, and Bullock is police commissioner. They get attacked by the party killers. during a press conference. And the press conference is quite brutal because they're blaming everything on Jim Gordon. And it's just not true. But this is where Batman makes his debut. And as this is going on, Alfred is watching the whole thing as he is, again, trying to keep an eye on what these party killers are doing and what Batman is doing at the same time. And his handlers are like, well, if this Batman gets in the way, kill him. And Alfred says, okay. But you see the fight between Batman and these party killers, which the cape is awesome because it basically is kind of like a spawn on the, like very spawn, like where it goes out and grabs some of these party killers and just rips them back and just beats the crap out of them. His towel contains his batarangs and knives. So he just pulls it from the top of his cowl and just stabs a bunch of them. And for everybody who does not like the chunky logo on his chest, there is a reason why it is chunky. One of the larger of the party killers, who's basically the enforcer, comes up and confronts him. He takes the logo on his chest and it turns into a giant battle axe in which he chops off the enforcer's hand and tells him, like, I forgot there is a hospital around here somewhere. They may be able to reattach it to your hand, but I forget which way it is, so you may want to run and find it before you bleed out. So this whole thing is just crazy watching him do it. This is a very brutal Batman. But he's still not killing anybody. He's just incapacitating. But as the party killer, leftover party killers are trying to run, Alfred sets off a bomb and everybody's just kind of laid out. This is where Alfred comes in and points a shotgun at Batman, telling him this is a special weapon. It's only like three of them in the world. Batman doesn't care. He just kicks him in the gut and takes the gun and he loses track of him. You come by late the next day. Everybody's talking about Batman. Again, this is mo all monologue through Alfred. And you find out that Bruce's father was a teacher, not a billionaire.
He was a
And,
doctor, by the way.
huh?
He was originally a doctor.
Yeah. But he was a billionaire through family.
Yeah,
He's
but
not.
he was a billionaire doctor
Yeah.
versus a
Well, he's
billionaire
not a
teacher.
billion. Yeah, he's not a billionaire teacher.
Okay.
He's just a normal teacher. His mother's a social worker. And apparently during the whole thing that causes this trauma is there was a shooting at the zoo that him and his classmates and his father sacrificed himself to save the children, save everybody. And that started the whole shebang. But his mother is still alive and was waiting for him. Alfred watches this and is going to do something about it, but then he's like, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to kill you right now. I'll wait till later. We also find out that this Batman is not rich by any means at all. He works everyday blue collar jobs. He works sanitation, construction, like it goes to the list of all the various jobs that he has. And he's only 24, but they say he's genius level mind, and that's apparently he invented some kind of thing that makes his cape do what it does. Like it has to, it's very origami-like, so that's where the cape and the design of his suit is coming from. It's something he did as a kid. So that's where that is. But Alfred does confront him again. This time, Batman turns around and he's pointing the shotgun that Alfred left at him. He converted the shotgun to non-lethal ordnance, and then he steals Alfred's bike, his motorcycle. There is an epilogue to this book where we meet this world's Joker. And the reason he's not the Joker is because he doesn't laugh at all. So, he's one of the, was it top 10 millionaire, like top 10 wealthiest men in the world, too. So you're getting kind of a flip the script type deal, a little bit. So, it's really interesting. This is a really cool take on, Batman. I've heard some of the guys compare it to like the ultimate Spider-Man, like where this thing kind of feels like they're just trying to rip on the Ultimates a little bit. This is DC's version of it.
Yeah, that I've heard that a lot.
Yeah, I don't disagree with it, but it is still very, very good though. It's still a lot of
Like
original things that I enjoy out of this book.
my thing is like I didn't pick it up because like I while I love Scott Snyder's writing and I really love Scott Snyder writing Batman, I just cannot get into the art. Like it is like I've not liked Draugatto's art in most, like I didn't really dig East of West and he did East of West. He did a couple other things that I wasn't really keen on, and it's got this like I was talking to somebody about it last night, and we decided it was like a if Greg Capullo and Frank Miller had a baby, that's what this book looks like.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, like, and
Generally.
I was like, I don't like I'm not into that style, and it's got like a slight manga vibe too. That I
Yeah.
just don't like. I just I and I don't know, like maybe if I read it like it will work for the story, but I just am not like I'm just not a fan of that his art style.
Yeah.
Like
I
so
think this will be the case of the writing. It's so good that you kind of forget about the art. Not that the art's bad either. This art doesn't bother me as much. Like, this isn't like Peach Momoko anime style where it's so
like looking at
action.
this cover, like looking at this cover, it makes me think of that fucking stupid Rob Liefeld Captain America cover with the giant chest.
Well,
Like, that's what
the
I
reason
think.
why he has that though is he is that in it. But
Well,
he's
yeah, I understand that, but
big
that's
dude.
what I'm looking at here, and that's all I can, my brain won't let me get over that. And I
Yeah.
understand that it can be good for the story, but
Yeah.
that's just how I think about it in my head. It's like a block that I can't get over. I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna try to get over it, but it's just me.
For the breakfast, give me everything. This is like the old school Eaton Park buffet. All right. This is everything. Like, the art is re even though you're not a big fan of the art is fine. I'm giving the art probably like a B minus. Not my style, but it's not the worst I've ever seen out of a
Oh
Batman.
right.
No.
Like don't get me wrong, it's not garbage. It's just not, I'm just not into this art. Right.
But the story gives me A plus. Like, this could be another Scott Snyder reinventing Batman again for the next generation. And I'm here for it because I like the little nuances, the little stories. Like, his best friends are his, Legion of Bad Guys. His mother's still alive. Little things like that, I appreciate that it's that much different of a Batman story that I'm cool with. So I'm excited for this. We'll see where it goes.
Okay. My first book is Green Lantern Civil Corps, the Civil Corps special. This is the all-in Green Lantern book. And I have to tell you, it wasn't great.
Oh, that's
Like, I'll be honest, I think only one book this week I really enjoyed. The rest of them were like, this book was okay. Like, the other two books were okay. They weren't bad by any means. Like, the art in this book is super fantastic. And the art is Salvador LaRocca, which is probably why it's really good. But Jeremy Adams and Philip Kennedy Johnson wrote this. And it's just, I think it's because the story's just really long. Because it's a special, so it's a super thick book. Starts off with Jon Stewart. He gets attacked by Kilowog, who is now a Yellow Lantern, and he takes the Darkstar ring from him. Meanwhile, you have Shepard and Guy and Hal trying to figure out what's going on, and Carol, I guess. And they figure that they need to go and attack Oa and try to figure out what's going on. And they have a they have Jadestone, who's kind of a manhunter, but not really. But he's connected to the Lantern on Earth, or the Battery on Earth. And they switch out all of their old rings for rings that are from this new battery. They do a cool recharge moment where they all do the oath together, which was actually really cool. It is well done. Then, like, the Unseeing gets attacked by Alan Scott, which is really cool, because they can't see into the fourth dimension, and he like totally like kicks their ass, and it's a great moment. Hal, Carol, and John go to Thanagar and try to talk them into going against the United Planets, only to find out that Theros has already been there, and they get ambushed by him, and a bunch of Hawkmen basically attack them because that's where they're from. Only to find out that Hal wasn't lying, and Theros has been replacing people with shapeshifters. Meanwhile, Guy and Shepard go into the science cells in Oa. There's some just fantastic freaking art, especially in this Alan Scott fight scene. Guy Gardner unleashes Larfleeze on all of the bad guys, and he is pissed off because they took his ring and they took his lantern. He is looking for his orange lantern. And let me see. They eventually all meet back up to try to fight Theros. He uses the Darkstar ring to kind of turn himself into like a almost like a weird mist thing, but they basically encapsulate the mist in multiple layers of energy and energy rings. You find out at the end that that Theros is working with Mogo, who is now a giant red lantern planet. So the Mogo is flying through space, planet-sized, as a red lantern flying at the planet. It's pretty sweet to see that. I thought it was cool. Like I said, the art in this book is really good. The story's just really long. If it was a little shorter, I probably would have liked it more. So I'm gonna give it one scrambled egg, one piece of toast, a cup of fruit, and a glass of water. Excuse me. So, not terrible,
This
but
absolute universe as well.
it is not, well, it's tied into it because like the Absolute Universe was tied into the Dawn of the DC stuff. And it's going to go back into Green Lantern 16. So you'll find out what's going on with Mogo. And also, Sinestro is a Red Lantern. Even though he's not in this book, you see him on the cover. Also, Jay and, or Joe and Jessica are not in this book, and you see them on the cover too. And then on the top right, that is Kilowog, but he's a yellow lantern instead of a green lantern. So I don't know why they have it like that. But it's really weird. So anyway. Oh, by the way, you sound a lot better.
Okay.
Good
I
job.
was going to ask. All right, we
Good job.
got the Toxic Avenger number one. Okay, what you said about the absolute Batman as far as the art go, that's how I feel about this. The art in this was not fun for me. Like, I
That's why I
really
didn't
just.
pick it up. I saw it and I was like, I really want to read this. But
Like,
I was like,
the
I
B
can't.
cover
I can't.
looks better than the A cover. I give it that. But then the inside was just not. I was not thrilled with it. I don't know who the artist is for this. I'd have to look.
Fred Harper.
The story was okay. It's kind of the reorigin of the Toxic Avenger, which they kind of did it backwards. Because this is very quarantine heavy. Like, this is very much trying to fit in, like, dealing with a pandemic, but it's like a pandemic of toxic waste. So what it is you already see the Toxic Avenger as the Toxic Avenger, and he's going out into the world, into the town to rescue Melvin. Who you're seeing more mutated humans in this. And they're all like, what's doing this to us? You see a lot of dark government slash dark corporate people in this, which how ironic the current events of things going on and, what's happening here. So you get to see a little bit of that. But at the very like the last few pages, you see how the Toxic Avenger gets his power or his how he gets mutated and everything. And it's a little bit different than the original Toxic Avenger origin. Definitely different from the movie. So it wasn't bad, but like I said, the art was really a struggle for me to try to read through this. The story was so-so. Like, this is definitely a oatmeal-esque type book for me. I wanted it to be real good. Maybe it'll be better the second issue, but it's really hard for me with the art. It really, really is. And it's not because, Toxic is supposed to look nasty or anything, but it's just the proportions of the regular people are weird in this, and it really throws me off. It's like watching, it's like reading a odd, surreal, like a surreal version of a human, and these are the regular people. It was okay, but it's nothing to write home about, and it depresses me a little bit because I am a Toxic Avenger fan. It is what it is.
Fair enough. So, what breakfast did you give this? Did I miss that?
I said I was getting this is getting me oatmeal with raisins in
Oh,
it.
that's right.
Yeah,
My
it's
bad.
yeah. I'm not like feeling
Oof.
it at all.
Fair. Yeah, I saw the cover and I was just like, God damn it, I can't do this. So,
Like I said, the B cover is better. The
I
B
know,
cover
but
the.
I was like, Ahoy is usually pretty good and usually hits some pretty home runs for me, But I was like, I can't do it. I can't pick up Toxafenger. Like, I would love to, but I really want to support it, but I can't. So, all right. This might be my favorite book this week. So, Exceptional X-Men number two, Eve Ewing, Carmen Carnero. So this mostly focuses on Kitty Pryde. This is her second issue. So Kitty's still working at a bar. Apparently the Cubs are in town, or the Cubs are playing a home game against somebody, and they kind of like a bunch of fans flood their bar. The owner's a little bit weirded out. Kitty's like, whatever. So she goes on a day date with this girl who invites her to watch her niece's soccer game. So she goes to watch a soccer game with this girl, and they're kind of talking, and there's this mutant kid who's watching his friend's soccer game from the stands, and these guys are bullying him, and the kid in the stand is just kind of like, guys, just leave me alone. Like I'm just trying to watch the soccer game. It's just my friend's game. And the girl on the one of the girls on the field is like, stop being a dick to him, whatever. And she gets pissed and jumps up in the stands and actually like gets in this guy's face and starts you find out she's a mutant and she can turn invisible and incorporeal. So she basically becomes a ghost. And the guy just keeps like falling over her. So she kind of starts this fight. Kitty grabs the girl and the mutant kid and slides them both through the stands to underneath. And it's like, you guys gotta not do that. She then, is like driving home, and the kid who she just saved is like, hey, sorry for the blow up. Wanted to say thanks for everything. And she's like, you know what? I think I have somebody you should meet. So the girl she saved in the first issue, then they kind of like, she kind of sets them up to hang out. So they hang out. And at the end of their hangout, you get this cool little flashback of Kitty Pryde talking to Storm about stuff and how, like, becoming an X-Men is family. And then they try to show up at Kitty's house and she's like, nope, not doing this. And then Emma Frost kind of gets in all their heads and leads them away. And Kitty's like, no, Emma, don't take them away. So Emma Frost is almost starting like her own new mutants, which I'm kind of excited about. I think it's a cool vibe. So I am pretty excited to see where this is going. I think it's finally picking up. I give this a mushroom Swiss steak omelet with a side of bacon and a glass of orange juice. It is that good. I think it is tasty. It is just spicy. It hits a little bit of social cues without being too overly, like it's basically like don't be a bully, but it's not like a don't be a bully because of X, Y, and Z social butterfly or social justice warrior type. It's just don't be a bully in general type thing, which is how I like my X-Men, like how I like my comics. I don't like them to be necessarily super political, but if you're going to be don't be a bully, just be don't be a bully. So I like that. Because it doesn't push the issue too far, which is why I like it. Yeah, I definitely recommend it. Go check it out. The art's fantastic. The writing's really good. I was never that big of a Kitty Pryde fan, but I'm a big Emma Frost fan, so I'm excited to see where this takes now that she's a little more in the book. I'm hoping the next issue is more focused on her. So.
All right.
By the
I'm sure
way,
you wanted to.
I totally called all three books you were going to read this week. just so you
Oh,
know.
really?
And I was like, because I was
You're
like,
damn.
oh, I really want to read two of these books. Fuck.
Well, I
So.
also read the Venom spin-off of Wolverine 2, but to be honest, it's kind of boring. But again, I'd rather it's been so long since we've had Shadow Man. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna read this too. So and again, only one issue in the mills. I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
There was only
But
one in Ohio when I picked it up, so.
yeah. Yeah, this is another home run by Valiant here. Keep it up, guys. This is basically like a tale, Tales from the Dead side. It's kind of like Tales from the Crypt. It's basically you're getting three tales featuring Shadow Man, Punk Mambo, and Dr. Mirage. But you start out and you meet the he's basically our crypt keeper, but it's a monkey with a top hat by the name of Jaunty. I think that's the pronunciation of it. But the first tale is basically a revenge. This incarcerated young black man is incarcerated under false pretenses. His cellmate is an elderly African American gentleman who apparently believes in or practices voodoo, and he hears his cellmate's story, and he's like, "Well, he's like, I am not long for this world, so I'm going to help you out, young blood." And he ends up doing like he sacrifices his life, doing a spell to conjure a Loa. The Loa doesn't have a name, but he says call him the concierge. Pretty fancy. And he's like, I'm good. The Loa's like, well, I was summoned here and I will help you with your plight. And he the Loa goes into the young man's body. What he does is he pushes the young man's soul out and kind of has it tethered to the body, but it's not really go the soul's not going anywhere. And the young man watches the Loa basically escape from prison, find his accusers or the people that got him in the jail. The Loa ties these people up and basically eats them. And he's like, this is not what I wanted. And the Loa's like, well, I gave you exactly what you wanted. You gave you revenge. And in turn, I'm get taking this body out for a joyride. It's been so long since I've been in the earthly plane, and I'm so very hungry. That's basically where this leaves off. There's no Shadow Man or anything. You just kind of get the gist of where this story is going to start. The second tale is all about Dr. Mirage and Pink Mambo. Dr. Mirage was searching for her husband. And Pink Mambo is like, well, I'll help you out. And they go into the dead side. As they're traveling through the dead side, they run into a insect that causes your worst nightmares to happen. And it ends up swallowing Black Mambo or Punk Mambo. And it kind of takes her back to high school and why she kind of acts the way she acts. You get a little glimpse of like the origin of Punk Mambo, like pre powers and pre-punk, because you see her in this little Catholic school outfit, being punished by an old teacher, for us Gen Xers, remember the way we were treated for having the rulers wrapped around our knuckles. This is kind of where this is coming from. While that is going on, Dr. Mirage kind of gets hypnotized by the bug. And Dr. Mirage finally kind of breaks out after realizing that Punk is a true friend. And she decimates this insect, releasing Mambo from the bug's stomach, because that's where she was. And then they continue on the journey and they open a portal, which Dr. Mirage goes through to find her husband. And lo and behold, the husband is there, but does not remember who Dr. Mirage is. That is the end of that tale. The third tale is about an evil voodoo man in Africa that was causing a famine and killing animals to kind of subjugate a small several villages in Africa. This is where Shadow Man comes into play. Basically just beats the voodoo man in his own game, sends him to the dead side, where the voodoo man basically gets murdered by all these animals that his death he caused their deaths. Happened to be one of the animals that the voodoo man was doing experimental spells with has human intelligence. And this turns out to be kind of the origin of Jaunty. Apparently, Jaunty's tribe slash female was killed by this voodoo man, and all these monkeys were undead. So he had to, after they killed the voodoo man, Jaunty ended up killing his entire tribe. And then you see where he goes to Shadow Man and goes, I will help you and guide you through the dead side. That's the end of that story. I really like this. I thought this was interesting because we don't get a lot of what exactly is in the dead side, other than the several crises that happen through Shadow Man and Punk that they have to deal with, but you don't get anything other than that. This was a cool intro. It did. I am getting a little tired of the tropey tales of this that follow the Tales from the Crypt or the stuff like that. I'm starting to get a little tired of that. But I think this works for kind of telling what Shadow Man and Punk and Dr. Mirage do and what they represent. Like they're the Doctor Strange and the mystic arts of Mar compared to Marvel, and they're the Dark Justice League in DC, and we're just kind of introducing what they have to do, what they fight, and you get a better definition of that. I'm gonna give this, give me two scrambled eggs with lots of jalapenos on it, a little bit of spice on it, and lots of pepper jack cheese on it. It's got some good bite to it. I can't wait to see what the second issue has and how these tales continue. The art is excellent. It has some bacon and some sausage. This is definitely a solid book. So.
Cool. Yeah, I always love a good punk Mambo story because she's basically like a female John Constantine. So that's how I always looked at her. So
Just slightly hotter, that's all.
meh, I don't know. So, all right, my last book is Terminator Number One by Declan Shelby. And Luke Sparrow, and Colin Craker. This book was interesting because it's actually from the point of view of a Terminator. And it's apparently the first T-800 to go back. And then it kind of switches to this older couple who've been kind of off the grid for a long, long time in 2018. And the T-800 finally catches up to them. So they burn whatever he's after, and he eventually like kills them after literally chasing them for, I think it ends up saying 30, 20, 39 years. They've chased him almost 40 years. And like you just see them like they start off their story in like a hotel room, and it's just the T-800 kind of following them like to like an airport, and then like they run over it with a with an airplane, and they think they've stopped it, and they can't imagine why it's still coming after them, and then eventually they just all die. And the T-800 just kind of walks off into the distance, which was kind of interesting. And then there's a small story called Buried Alive from Sal Crivelli and also Colin Craker. And this, I believe, is a the first T-1000 to come back. He's in. Does it even say where he's actually at? He's hunting down a rogue T-800, and like it's literally just 2 pages where he finds the guy, he tries to run a car into him, and the T-800 slams the car, like just crushes the car. And that's as far as it gets. Then there's a really nice John Cassidy memorial page in the back. I thought the writing was great. The art was fairly good for the story, but not super awesome. I think it had this like weird like sunset tone to it that kind of was kind of off-putting for me. But I thought it was cool because it was like a different Terminator point of view that we've never seen before. I'm interested to see where it goes and if it's more stories or if it's the same story of the same Terminators. Until I see more, I can't really make a better judgment on it. So I'm gonna give it just like a Belgian waffle with like just regular syrup and cup of coffee, like just very plain, very simple. But it wasn't anything like super crazy yet. But I feel that it has the potential to be very good. So,
Okay.
all right. So, also something else, guys, is I didn't realize this till yesterday, but apparently the normal New Dimension Comics Facebook page did not have an Instagram to go with it, so I started one yesterday. So now you can follow just the company, not a specific store, but the company at just New Dimension Comics, all three words, one big word, all lowercase, New Dimension Comics on Instagram. I will be starting to load that with media as I go.
I swear we had a New Dimension Comics Instagram.
No, we have a Facebook for that, but we
Okay.
never had an Instagram for it.
Oh, that's our Three Rivers Con Facebook. That's what it is.
Yes, yeah. And then also also the week after New York, when Justin gets back, he and Scott are going to be relaunching our whatnot sales. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 a.m.
Yes.
every week, 10 a.m. for 40-ish minutes. That's the ballpark. 40-ish minutes. We're
Yeah.
going to be doing some, mostly some like random dollar books, maybe some $5 to $10 books in there, maybe even like a $25 book. You never know. We're gonna throw some cool stuff in there. We have some magazines we've been kicking around. We have some graded stuff we can throw in there. We have some graphic novels we can throw in there too. All kinds of stuff. We're gonna try this again. Because last
Yeah.
time it was not super successful. But if you're
Yeah.
interested in that, definitely check that out. It's gonna start like that. So we're gonna have some fun. We're gonna try to have some fun with it.
Yeah. So yeah, guys, please. Like I mean, it wasn't very it's not hard to do whatnot, for me, but I know it was very difficult watching maybe 20 people get on and someone may buy something. And we had really nice books, and it was a shame it didn't work out the first time. Or we could be
But
still the
you can find us on Whatnot at New Dimension Comics. All three words put together into one big word. Just look
Yes.
us up. You can find us on there too. You'll see our logo. So if you know anybody that likes Whatnot sales, make sure they check us out and prepare for that. But those will be kicking in, like I said, about 2 weeks. And we're gonna be pushing that a little bit in the next couple of weeks. So make sure you follow us so you can see when our sales are. And Justin and I will be talking a little bit more next week about scheduling and stuff like that. Other than that, like Agatha's been going pretty good. There was a nice last 30 seconds of the last episode that confirmed everybody's already duh moment
Suspicion.
of that. I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. We got, I think, three or
Yeah.
four more episodes. I'm very excited for it. So,
Yeah, I kind of missed this week's. I did ca like I did do a quick recap like on YouTube for catch-up purposes. But I did enjoy the one before, which was very like 70s rock. And I kind of like the whole thing of you're finding out, oh, you got a little bit more depth on the relationship Agatha had with the Green Witch. You got to see a little bit more of everybody, like a little bit more sisterhood, a little bit more, it, like I said, this is very different from a normal Marvel movie where, oh, there's an obvious bad guy, there's an obvious this. This is a very gray tone across the board. There's no good guys, there's no truly bad guys. It's in the middle. And I'm kind of for it. I want to see where the story ends. I do have to get a hold of Time Cop because I was on his Disney Plus account. It's not letting me log in. So I would have to either buy a Disney Plus account, which I really don't want to do. I already have way too many of those. Or just add me to his friends list there, his family, friends and family account.
Do you have Hulu? Because you could just add it
I
on
don't
to
have
that.
Hulu either. We don't have Hulu either. Like, we have
I get
like
a lot.
every other.
Let's say I get a lot out of Hulu. So if you do the Hulu Disney Plus bundle, it's usually a lot. It's a lot better. It's better bang for your buck. So.
Yeah, that I hear that, but it's like we already have like all these other streaming services. And,
Right.
we're not rich people.
I understand 100%. So.
Yeah.
All right.
But
Well, that pretty much wraps up this week, guys. We will see everybody not next week, because Justin will be in New York, and I'm just going
Unless you
to see
want to do
tomorrow.
something next week and I could try doing something super late that night.
Yeah. No, I'm good.
I can
I'm
tell you
good.
all about my experience with, apparently I get to meet Todd McFarlane.
Well, we'll see.
So that'll be
So,
cool.
but
Like, if I could get Todd McFarlane on our podcast, would that be a worthy guest for the Toddcast? The
maybe.
Todd father and Todd and you and me, and we just watch this collaboration go.
Oh, and a quick thanks to Jim Rugg and West Coast Dave for the video walkthroughs of a couple of the stores they did when they were here.
Yes. Yeah.
That
I
was a
watched
really
that
good
myself.
thank you so much for that. And it was great to see all the other stores in the city too. I'm good friends with a lot of those guys, and we're all nerds together, and it's a lot of fun. It's great to see a little bit of love for everybody. But thank you so much for that. It meant a lot. So, all right. We will see everybody later. Have a good week, guys.
See you guys.